theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning, my friends. This is your favorite podcaster, Jonathan Edward Button, and his beautiful, gorgeous wife wearing red and green today. Give it up for the one, the only, Quinn Elise Boutonnes. Hello, Quinn.
Wow, that was quite the intro, my love.
We gotta have a little fun.
Gotta keep it lively, gotta keep it fun.
How's everyone doing today?
Doing great. Hope everyone else who's listening to this is doing great, too.
Right.
Hope you did your gratefuls today. If you haven't, make sure to take some time to do your three gratefuls. What are you grateful for today?
Yep. Got to keep that going. It always makes us take a moment to reflect on what is great. And there's a lot of good stuff in the world.
A lot of really great stuff going on in the world. So stay positive out there, my friends.
Right.
So today that we're going to start off with a Life Out of the Box update, right, of the podcast, like what we're doing.
Right. So, yeah, like, I think we just started coming up with the idea of why don't we, rather than at a random point in the podcast, discuss what we're doing with the podcast, the business, why don't we try to throw that in at the beginning, right?
Yeah, we're just going to give you, like, a quick, like, 5-minute max update on what we're doing right now to get, down the line and just keep progressing, just bringing you guys along with us on the journey.
We're going for it, and like we said, we now have a hosting site.
Yeah, so we are using Podbean. And I'm working on updating the website so that our podcasts are also living there, and our blog can definitely be used as a resource to further dive into podcasts and whatnot, right. What we discuss.
I'm excited about is the image that we're going to have associated with our podcast. You know, everyone's got a little square with sometimes pictures of them or just the title, and it's colorful and bright.
Podcast art.
And I will say, I'm not taking on that task. That would be just boring. Like, mine would not look good.
I don't know about that, babe. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. But I am definitely, I've already experimented with some designs. Might even reach out to some of our design friends who...
You think so?
I don't know. Well, we're going to experiment. I'm already experimenting with a few different designs. We'll see. It might, lead to a redesign of Life Out of the Box. You never know. But we do need that art, you know, basically to publish our podcast.
Yeah.
So.
I'm wondering if you're going to choose one with our faces in it or without our faces in it.
We'll see. I'm not sure yet.
I wonder what percentage of podcast people have their faces in it or their, you know, picture of them integrated into the logo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for sure if you have your photo in there, people can identify who you are, right? Mm-hmm. It's easier.
It's a nice connecting factor.
But if no one knows who you are, you know, maybe, I don't know. The main thing that you want to do with the art is really pull people in and...
Get them to click play.
Yeah, get them to click play and then subscribe. Be able to recognize the brand.
Yeah.
Over and over again. You know, like when I look at the daily, I know exactly, like that's a very bright, bold design that they use with their podcast. So
what is it, like yellow?
It's like yellow, green, blue, the daily with the New York Times logo. The logo is obviously very recognizable.
No picture of them.
No. Michael Barbaro, no.
So that would be fun.
But yeah, there are also other ones that, you know, have, like Joe Rogan has his face on it right there.
Yeah, his is kind of weird. It's just like funny. Centered and he's got a third eye.
Well, he just hasn't changed it. He started off with that and that's kind of cool. It's stuck, so... You know, so we'll see. We'll definitely be able to share that design, the final design. And who knows, maybe we'll ask people what their favorite design is before we launch. Maybe we'll bring you guys in the selection process. We can do top three and they can help us decide which one they like most.
We'll see. I'm thinking, though, can we agree that we're aiming to launch this next week?
Yeah, I think we're definitely trying to launch the first podcast next week.
Yeah. And then what was your thought about the idea of putting out all of the podcasts that where we're like figuring it out and our quality is probably not very good, but we're just like putting it out there. And then we actually launch after we already have like 5 out there, and then people can listen to the newest one. And if they're really feeling it, they can go back and hear it. Cause my concern would be that if we say, hey, we're doing it and we're launching some of the older ones when we were figuring it all out, it doesn't sound very professional. Whereas now I feel like we've been rating every single episode so far on a 10 scale. And I see the progress every single day that we're doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
I hear the progress. And so I'd like to launch it with one that we're very proud of, or we feel like we've figured it out a bit more than when we were at the beginning.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not to say that we're going to delete anything from the beginning. Like you said, we might even share the earlier ones, or we've also talked about maybe just cutting up the different conversations in those, because they are really long and there are gems in there that we want to share with you. So we're still creating. We're still trying to come up with what the best way to do all of this is. But
next week launch.
I think next week will be the relaunch and the launch of the podcast and then hopefully eventually in the next week or two a relaunch of Life Out of the Box.
Yeah, I don't want everyone who's been following us on Life Out of the Box to get the message until we actually have like more than one episode out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. So I think, you know, the big thing that we're trying to figure out, we're still trying to figure out what the big pivot with Life Out of the Box is, how this podcast can help guide that. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be going through some old video footage too. Right. We'll keep you updated on that tomorrow or maybe later this week on how that's going, to kind of basically bring you behind the scenes from the past few years and get you up to speed on where we're at right now. If you were following us earlier and then you realize that we just kind of stopped, well, we want to.
What was the date that you said that we like stopped posting?
It was 2017.
Oh, 2017.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It was November of 2017.
Dang.
So yeah, it's been a while. So, I mean, there's been a lot going on. It's not to say that there's been nothing going on. I mean, we're going to bring you up to date, hopefully through storytelling here, but then also through a series of videos that we're going to produce very soon. So, I mean, I think the big thing with this podcast that we're trying, as we're talking about it, as we're practicing and whatnot, is we're really trying to bring together and deeply connect with the community craving to do something big that can improve and change the world.
Yeah.
You know,
one thing I'm excited about for us personally that will help us figure out a lot of these answers to the questions that we have is getting that whiteboard up on our wall.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited to get
we have two little whiteboards.
Yeah.
And got them at IKEA. Shout out. IKEA's been good. But they didn't come with the hardware, so we had to go to Home Depot. Got it. We're going to put that up. And then I want to get a big whiteboard.
Yeah. So basically, we're still moving into our new place. But we've been really busy.
Yeah.
And you guys know this. This has been our really big priority is practicing, getting this podcast up, getting us up to speed to feeling like we're comfortable enough to publish with you. And really the next step is going to be us broadcasting live video, which we're going to be doing relatively soon to kind of just, I mean, make you guys feel like you really can connect with us, like you are right here with us.
Right.
And so part of that is definitely ensuring that our house is all done and whatnot. So you can,
it doesn't have to be perfect, but
well, no, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just, it's like, we literally have painter's tape on the wall still. So
because they're marking the studs so we can put up the whiteboard.
Yes.
We were originally thinking about having like some kind of art or like shelving on the wall.
Yeah.
But to me, the coolest art is the type of art that allows you to be creative. And a whiteboard is that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'll
be like forever changing art.
So many times in the last year, I have wished that I just had a whiteboard. You know, it's really weird.
Like, it's not the same as just white paper and pencil,
and it's not the same as the computer for whatever reason. There is a whole different creative process that comes along with using a whiteboard than anything technological.
Yeah, I'm excited to make all that happen.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with us, and we're excited to update you on how all of this is going.
Well, let's keep you updated on our journey.
Yep,
because you're with us.
Yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun. So, but today's podcast, we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One thing that's really interesting and really brand new that literally just came out today.
What is it?
Is Snapchat is coming at TikTok, man.
What?
Yeah. They just launched today for iOS only. So if you have an iPhone, you can download it. It's called Sounds on Snapchat.
Sounds on Snapchat. Okay.
Yes.
I'm curious if this has... you remember a couple of days ago I came up with an idea of expiring sounds or expiring podcasts.
Yes.
But I don't think this is it. But what is it?
It's not, which that is a brilliant idea that I would like to talk about later on.
Too kind, but I'm appreciative of it.
Seriously. No, this is essentially, it lets users enhance their snaps with music from a curated catalog that they have. Of both like emerging artists and already established artists. So okay. They partnered with, you know, some big record labels like Warner Brothers and whatnot.
When you're making a video to add to your story, which expires 24 hours from posting, you can now add music.
Yeah. So what you could do is the music can be added while you're doing the Snapchat or after you've already recorded something or, you know, a photo, and then you could share it to your story or share it with your friends directly. But here's the differentiating factor that they have that TikTok doesn't currently have in their design, is that when, like, say you posted it on your story and I'm watching your story and it's a really great song, say it's that really great BTS song, Dynamite.
Gosh. It would be. That will be Quinn's first post, ladies kidding. And gentlemen.
No, that's yours.
Oh, that's mine. Because you love me,
yeah.
Oh, that's
and I'm watching song. It and I'm like, oh my God, I love that song. What is that song? I can swipe up and then immediately have access to it to whatever music streaming service I use, and that includes SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. So basically it's allowing people to discover new music through their friend's Snapchat.
So I'm assuming you can only put in, like similar to TikTok, a 15-second clip of the music?
Well,
like a shorter version. You're not putting the whole song up on your story.
No, you can't put the whole song up. Yeah. Right. No, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to experiment with it today.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that it's going to be really
fun.
Interesting, cuz like, you know, the I'm sure in the whole idea creation it was, how do we get all the record labels on board so that we can actually use the music, right? In the United States, there's a lot of, you know, laws around that.
Yeah. Thanks, a lot Napster. Of strange strange laws about it. It's hard to I'm still curious about which audio clips we can include in ours.
Yeah, I know. It's
and for how long and
it's an interesting world for sure. But like when you tap on the sound, it takes you to be able to go and see or listen to the entire song, which is really great. Like if you really like it and you've never heard it, that definitely incentivizes not only the streaming platforms but also
the artists
and the record labels to want to be a part of it. Whereas TikTok, when you click on it, you just see more videos of other people using that song, right? You don't really, it's hard to understand where exactly the creation of that song came from.
So you can, do you think that there will be artists that will come out of this new?
Yeah, for sure.
Sound, what is it called? Snapchat
sounds. It's sounds on Snapchat.
Sounds on Snapchat. Like, there's a few artists that definitely got their name out there.
Yeah.
Through TikTok.
For sure.
So
same with SoundCloud though too, right? I mean, it's just basically a new and interesting way of discovering music. And that's really, I mean, for me, for sure, when you're, I mean, we listen to YouTube music a lot, and a lot of the playlists, it's like the same music over and over again. And I'm like, okay, how do I find new and interesting music?
Yeah.
And SoundCloud was definitely one source where you and I were able to find like interesting mixes and new music uploaded directly by the artists themselves. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes. I mean, this is really, really huge. And check out these stats that I just read from an article in TechCrunch, okay. Right? In the U.S., Snapchat now reaches 90% of all 13 to 24-year-olds.
90%?
In the United States
only. In the United States, 13 to 24?
Yeah.
90%?
Yeah.
That means if there's 10 people lined up, 9 of them have Snapchat?
This is reported by Snapchat. Yeah. So it also reaches 75% of all 13 to 34-year-olds, and on average more than 4 billion snaps are created every day.
That doesn't surprise me. That last one doesn't surprise me.
It's really interesting though.
But the 90% of 13 to 24-year-olds, I just don't know. Am I that out of the loop? Everyone's on Snapchat? I mean, like, that's crazy.
Well, that's very much not your age range, my love.
I know.
13 to 24-year-olds.
I completely understand that. But I'm just like, there's got to be, like, more. That's just astonishing. 9 out of 10. That means I get 10 random people in that age range. And I say, how many of you have Snapchat? And 9 of them. And there's one little guy who's going to say, nope, don't have one. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Basically. That's amazing.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, just from my own anecdotal perspective, it makes sense to me. I mean, teaching.
Right.
That was the number one platform that kids were using in class. Okay. I mean, that I really do believe that Snapchat is seen as like a messaging platform.
Mm-hmm. I'd say more so than other social media platforms for sure.
Yeah. It's as if it's a big group message.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It gives people an insight look into your life.
So weird, though. What is the purpose, though? Like, a connection. That's the reason.
It's connection. I'm telling you, it's the thing that these other platforms, they are so inundated with, like, fake postings. And, I mean, people are creating and posting things that are false on Facebook and Twitter, and that's become their number one focus right now. It's about preventing people from spreading false information so that we are a well-informed society.
Right.
Whereas
which is an important cause, but
it's really important. It's a huge undertaking, and they're stepping it up even more, and it's right now it's getting more and more controversial. But what these platforms have lost, it seems, is that authenticity. Obviously, if they're trying to, like, if the argument is that they're either censoring or they're blocking fake news, either way, they're not seen as a platform that really helps connect people, right? Authentically.
They definitely carry that, the word media associated with their platform. Social media seems more fitting for, like, Facebook and Twitter, which, after hearing all your stats on it, those seem so antique at this point now.
I know.
It is what, like, the majority of our friends use for sure.
I know.
Twitter and
Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think what's interesting too is Snapchat was onto something where the 24-hour expiration thing is really powerful. It kind of goes along with the idea of what's starting to become a trend now. I would say some people can say that it has been a trend, but I think probably more so than ever is the live streaming on different platforms.
Yeah.
Like when you're live streaming, that's in the moment, in real life, right there captured. You can't fake it.
Yeah. You just better be interesting, or whatever you're filming better be interesting.
For sure. That's the thing is that's one of the reasons why so few people are doing it, is because they don't understand. Like, it's one, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be interesting right in the moment. Not like you're trying to put together some content and you're able to edit and stitch it all together like over multiple days. This is a one captured in the moment.
Yeah.
So it does require serious talent.
Yeah. It's definitely more difficult to keep the viewer engaged the whole time.
Yes.
And that's a challenge we're comfortable and looking forward to accepting.
I would say so, for sure. But I think with Snapchat, the 24-hour, I mean, if you missed it, you missed it, right? Mm-hmm. If you didn't see their story, well, they're not going to resend it to you. I mean, I guess they could, but that's not really...
No,
you know, you have to won't. Be... It almost... Like what we've talked about is the difference is people on Snapchat are active.
Yeah.
Right. So
don't they have like a streak? Like it's gamified.
That was really smart.
What is it though?
Yeah. The streak. So they have this design feature where you can have where they basically notify you and your friends who you've accepted to be able to follow you, how many days in a row you have been Snapchatting.
So you get like a streak and get like little icon rewards, I guess.
Yeah, they're meaningless, but they somehow carry value.
Well, yeah, for sure. Know? I mean, it works for us with learning Spanish on Duolingo.
Totally.
Once you get to a certain point, you don't want to risk that streak ending. So
right.
Even if you have to post something silly, I would assume that you got to do it to keep the streak going.
Yeah, that was I remember that being all over the news like a few years ago, where parents We're like, what is going on with my kids? We're going on vacation and they're giving their friend their phone because on the cruise, we're not going to have any Wi-Fi.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that kind of situation where they don't have internet.
Yeah.
And how would they be able to keep their streak going? And at least in Duolingo, you get a up to three day streak freeze.
Yeah, you can get a streak freeze.
Which, you know, we try to avoid that, but that's at least a little comfortable bubble
right.
that you get. What about Snapchat? They don't have a streak freeze, do they?
No, they don't.
So you got to give it to your friend.
Yeah. That's so it was weird. It was a concerning thing because it was so effective. It was almost like addictive to kids. It was kind of like seen as like a clout thing. Like, oh yeah, I've snapped every day for the last, you know, 300 days.
Yeah. It would incentivize me to want to follow them if they do have a long streak. Like, oh good, I'm following someone who I'm actually going to be able to see what they're putting out there.
Exactly. I also think it falls in line with the need that we all kind of have to have consistency, right? Mm. That's the reason why, you know, your favorite podcast posts on the same day every week, or maybe it's a daily podcast from Monday to Friday.
Right.
That consistency brings you in as you start consuming it. Maybe not every single story or piece of content is that relevant and interesting to you, but you at least can rely on it being posted again and again and again. And the more you follow along, even if you don't really like it that much, the more you're just instinctively going to be connected with it because you see it every day.
Right. Speaking of consistency with streaks, I'm wondering, because we're doing an experiment of a week of recording every single day.
Right.
And when we left for Nicaragua and started our blog Life Out of the Box, we posted every single day, but on the weekends we didn't write a post. We did Weekend Wisdom, which was an image with an inspirational quote.
Yeah.
And it was did we do that twice, like Saturday and Sunday, or did we just do Weekend Wisdom
I think
one day?
It was just one day.
Okay, so we posted technically 6 days
for
the week. I'm wondering if we're gonna be posting 7 days of the week or 5 days of the week with our podcast. Do you have an opinion? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I've done some research on what statistically, based on analytics of the past podcasts and their reach. I mean, this is a debated thing in social media in general, right? I mean, if you use scheduling platforms like Hootsuite, they claim to say like, we will be able to show you the best time to post on which days. Right.
Right.
In the podcasting world, this is relatively new analytics being able to really see. And it's it pretty much stretches across the board. The one thing that I have found, the one thing that I read, actually several reports that I read said that Wednesdays are the best day that you should post. Yeah. Hump day to get people through the week. Yeah. Not very many people post on the weekends. I will say that even from my own experience, I would say there's maybe like three or four that do. But what's interesting about that is even though a lot of people don't, because look, it's their 9-to-5 job. I mean, if you're working for the New York Times or NPR, you're in the office working, right?
Yep. They get a weekend off.
But if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, every day is a potential day for progress, right?
Would it be worse to post occasionally on the weekend? Like occasionally do 7 days and then sometimes do five?
Well, what's nice is that I do have a good solid mix of podcasts. So the ones that post on the weekend, I know they are going to be coming on the weekend. It's nice because I actually have something to listen to if I want to listen to something on Sunday or Saturday, usually on Sundays. And one of them is like a financial podcast that I really like, the Investors Podcast.
I feel like you listen to so many different podcasts.
I do.
That there's still something available for you to listen to on the weekend because you didn't have time to listen to everything.
Yeah, that's very true. You know? Yeah, that's very, very true. But I think, you know, on the weekend, if you're posting something on the weekend, I mean, you're competing for people's attention a lot more than you are during the weekday. So
what's your overall vibe? You think we should post 7 days a week, 5 days a week, do both? Like, I'm very curious. I know this is all an experiment, but I like getting inside of your brain and see what you're thinking. And I think our listeners will enjoy this. I mean, I love bringing them along as we're figuring it out. And this is one of those like off the cuff conversations.
No, I do too. I think one thing is because a lot of people don't post on the weekends. I mean, I just said that
there's an advantage.
Competing for their attention with a lot of other things. But there's not very many podcasts that are getting published on the weekend. So I do think.
What's your overall vibe though? like mine, if it wouldn't hurt our like viewership or I don't know, placement on like rankings and stuff like that, I would like to sometimes post on the weekends. But I wouldn't want to commit to 7 days a week every single week. That would be that could get difficult, you know. I don't want, you know, it's like the streak freeze for Snapchat. I don't want to have to be feeling like in a situation where I gotta go hand my phone to my friend so she can keep my Snapchat streak going, you know?
Yeah, well, we're in a weird time right now too, where, I mean, there's really not very many places that any of us can go. I mean, we're not taking these weekend trips anymore, you know? True. So, yeah. I mean, for us, maybe in the beginning phase, we are posting more often than not. But right. We could also say, look, the podcast is going to get posted 6 days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Mm, 6 days.
6 days, maybe. That's, I don't know.
And then that's good.
And then Saturday, you gotta go on other social media to like figure out what we're doing.
Right.
You know. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways that we could do it, but for sure, I think at least five.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. I like this.
Yeah.
I'm also curious. When do you think we're gonna? This is just another off the cuff. I have to ask. When do you think we're gonna actually do the Twitch live stream? Because I do realize that's a bit of a larger undertaking than where we're at with the podcast. Like, I feel if we wanted to today, we could have this live on the podcast, you know?
Right.
But to set up the live streaming, and we'd have to reorganize like where we would sit and stuff. Do you think we can get that done prior to November, maybe? Or, I mean, I'm just trying to like...
Prior to November, for sure.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was hoping by the end of the month, for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it is going to be a larger undertaking, but one, we both believe that it's got great value. There's a big opportunity with it. And two, we're going to be, I feel like if we're keeping up this consistency of recording, by that time, we should feel ready to go live with cameras on us.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I think that we're going to figure it out. And honestly, you know, we're still figuring this podcast out. I mean, we're randomly talking about sounds on Snapchat today. And, you know, I don't know exactly. A part of the way that we've always done things as entrepreneurs is experiment first.
And the unique thing is that we bring our followers along through these experiments.
Yeah.
That's one thing that we do that probably most don't do. You know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do in hindsight. They say, oh yeah, this is what I did.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But this is, when I did this, that's when I realized this and I pivoted and opened it up.
Yeah. Reflective.
Reflective. And I think
that's a very good point.
Yeah. I think that for us, we just want,
we want to bring
you along.
Yeah. We think it's fun, you know, like. It
sounds confusing
time.
Sometimes. I mean,
it
I just listened. I listened to an earlier podcast yesterday, and I was getting so frustrated at the fact that we were
one of ours.
Yeah, the fact that we were sounding so lost. It was like, okay, chill out. We get it. You don't know who your target market is. We get it. You know, but honestly, that is a part of the process. And you know, we're reworking things on a daily basis and testing and experimenting. We're really open to adapting ourselves, even though we know, we understand everything that was taught in the Masters of Entrepreneurship, everything that we learned through Life Out of the Box, everything that we've learned also through experience in the corporate world that we both originally came from and continue to consult for. I mean, we're seriously trying our best to just adapt. And I think that's the number one thing that we should all be doing. I mean, what are some skills that you want to learn during this time? I think COVID is a really great, you know, this whole year has been obviously a crazy year of change.
It's different, but were you asking me, or were you like asking all of our listeners?
Our listeners, but you too. Like, what are some skills that you want to acquire?
For me, for sure. And I think I can almost speak for both of us, but I want to know if you feel the same way. I definitely want to work on my communication skills, my speaking skills, my public speaking skills.
Me too.
We did have a bit of a vision of being able to speak at some of these amazing events that we've gone to in the past, such as like South by Southwest. To us, that would be such an honor to be able to be on stage and talk to people about whatever we're working on and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not happening this year. They already not canceled it, didn't year. They?
Or is they're it doing virtual? A virtual. Yeah. Okay. They're doing a virtual one, which is, you know, it's not the same. We all know it's not the same. I mean, we've been to South by Southwest twice. It's
the most amazing.
The most amazing experience I think I've ever had.
Technology, film.
At a conference.
Music.
Yep.
Entrepreneurship. I mean all bundled.
The amount of people that you meet there, too. It's yeah, just.
Like-minded,
it's,
too.
It is so fun. So I do want to
like be able to speak on a public setting like that.
Yeah, me too.
Get invited rather than paying for those expensive tickets and then getting to enjoy the whole experience, but having that one moment where it's on us to be a part of the event.
Yeah.
And this podcasting experiment per se is a big part of ensuring that we can speak better, more clear for our listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel the same way?
I feel the same way. I think you and I have talked about this several times. The last year or two or three has really been, I mean, I had the really great privilege of teaching in front of students, which has been great. And you
like
as
how
well.
You call it a privilege. It really was a is. Privilege. People don't view it that way.
Oh,
I'm glad that you do.
Oh my God. I loved it. I loved all my students. It was
shout out
to my girls and boys, DHM 1003. But I really did love it. I learned a lot about myself then too, about, you know, speaking. And we had the also amazing privilege of doing our own TED talk on stage, right, about life out of the box. However, I think the past few years during the PhD program, it's really been more about just writing,
communicating
in the written form.
Exactly.
And in a whole different structure where it's
right.
science.
Right.
You have to communicate to other scientists,
mm-hmm,
who are very, very smart and will critique the crap out of you. So,
and experts in what you're trying to validate yourself as being an expert.
Exactly. Like, even if you're an expert, you're always going to get checked.
Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, the top expert, I mean, John's advisor, Dr. Barron, was one of the top in his field, and he always expected to get critiqued after he did a presentation about his findings of a paper.
Yeah,
it just comes with it.
Yeah.
You do. I mean, that's the best part about science, is that it gets checked, right? It has to be replicated and whatnot. But for us, when we're wanting to communicate with just you, with you all, we really want to bring you in and we want to authentically connect. We're not just doing this for us. We want to eventually be able to help you guys too. We want you to be a part of this community.
Yeah. The connection aspect is something I can't let go of.
No, it's the one thing we can't let go of right now. It's how do we really connect authentically, mm-hmm, with a community that we're craving? And if we're craving it, there's got to be other people who are craving it too.
We got to believe. I believe it.
I believe it too, because I think, honestly, a lot of what's going on right now with like the authentic connections and whatnot, we're trying to create and establish and maintain authentic connections through the internet right now, because we can't see each other physically all the time, right?
Yeah.
So
it's more difficult than ever.
Yeah, it's more difficult than ever. And so I'm really curious as to how we can be a part of really making that feel as authentic and real. Like, you're right there with us.
And that's how Twitch live stream came up as a great idea.
Twitch live stream.
Component.
Yeah, I mean, and so with that, we're going to learn a whole new skill of how to broadcast something live, right? Yeah. And then
are less edited, almost barely any editing in the podcast itself. I mean, we'll do a few where it's very edited to like make it a different format. But the rawness of these conversations and figuring it out while our listeners are hearing it. Love that.
I do
to
too.
Me,
well,
it's really cool.
I agree. I personally am really excited about the idea of doing live stream first. Like, content is created by live stream, right?
Yeah.
And then you take that audio from the live stream and you might clean it up a little bit, so whoever's not able to see us is able to just hear it and not be really annoyed that there's a siren in the background, right? But if they want to see the authentic, they can always go back to that live stream.
That's interesting.
And watch it. And then the third part will be actually creating clips of conversations that are sound bites that just people, if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, if you're not into long format, we've got the shorter version of that. And if you want to listen to more of that sound bite, there are all these other ways that you can do it. You listen to the podcast, you can go on the live stream, you can do this, this, or that. So
this is going
to
be this is going to require a lot of our time, but I'm embracing that. But I can already tell, like, if we're doing all this, making the videos and all that too, and adding in additional edits and cutting up clips and then sharing them, here we go. I'm ready for that. It's going to be a lot though. But one thought of how I came to the idea that this is going to be a lot was yesterday. We said we need to actually take a significant amount of time of our day to critique what we've already done.
Right.
And figure out which ones we're posting. And I guess we could listen to them at like 2x speed so we can like do that process faster. But, you know, every time we're recording something for an hour, just to keep the math easy, at least another hour will be spent listening to it and then additional time editing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So even if we are trying to keep it super raw and natural, it's still going to require more time. And imagine how much time it'll take if we were doing something like Radiolab or another podcast that's like fully edited with background sounds and production and all that little stuff. We're doing the best we can and we're going to do great.
Well, I think it starts, honestly, it starts with just being raw and authentic. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Trying not to be boring.
I don't think we're boring.
Yeah.
Are you boring?
I don't think so.
I think you're cool.
I think you're pretty awesome too. But I think that this will get easier over time. I know that it sounds like a lot, but the more, just like this is getting easier every day.
Right.
The more we do it, the more it will feel routine and we'll be pivoting and we'll be changing. Yeah. We'll figure out that doesn't really work.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, we're going to try it. We're going to try everything. We're going to say, okay, that doesn't work. Well, we know, okay, like for example, the clip sound bites or the videos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that Joe Rogan does, right?
Let's keep it honest. It's his team.
Yeah, he was lucky enough to be able to hire a team right away. But I will sometimes just watch his clip because I don't have 3-4 hours to listen to his whole freaking interview.
So long.
They're so long.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure, and we're learning the process. I mean, we're recording in GarageBand. We export it to MP3 and save it to Dropbox, and then we upload it to our phones, and then we listen to them, and we write descriptions of every single little bit of it, and then give it a score, and then we talk about, okay, do we want to split it? How do we want to take this forward? And I'm very confident that process will become more efficient over time. We might not use Dropbox. It might be something else, you know, to get the audio file to our ears for critiquing.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's fun.
It'll be fun.
It's the best.
Yeah, and I want to kind of just like conclude with one last thought.
Yeah.
One other idea that we got from our good friend, and we had talked about it, but when he said this, we were like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. It's like happy hour with Quinn and John. And I would like to experiment. We haven't done that yet.
No.
I would like to experiment with that this week, whether it's tonight or tomorrow or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Where we are just, it's a little bit lighter. It's a little bit more fun. And it's just you and I having a drink with our friends and like we're just talking about the day.
It could be fun.
I think it could be.
I'm trying to figure it out because we are testing different times of the day to be recording. And so far after, I mean, how many episodes have we like drafts or attempts have we done now? Probably getting close to 20 at least. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
And at this point I would say me in my prime is probably like 10:30 to 11, somewhere around there of recording.
Yeah.
That's when I'm awake enough, coffee's in me, let's go.
Yep.
And we do it. We've done one as early as like 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
That was my Love Island episode, which I'm very proud of. And that one's definitely going to get published.
That was a great one.
And we have done as late as maybe like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And the 5 or 6 one, I didn't feel as though we were fully energized. But, you know, it depends on the day, too. So
it depends on the day. It's Friday. I mean, every time Friday comes around, you're really excited. I mean, even on the East Coast, a lot of people leave work an hour early in the old world, right? Yeah. They left work at least an hour early to go enjoy the rest of their weekend or to go for a happy hour. And happy hour is for sure one of the best ways to network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least in my own experience, you don't need to drink a lot. It's just you go and you're interacting and you're just,
you're a talking more loose.
It takes you outside of the office setting, you know, it makes it seem just like a little bit more fun and you can get a little bit looser. Like
we
you said,
try. You I think do you it should. Today. Then we could do a two. Sometimes we like to push ourselves to do two episodes in the same day.
I think it could be fun.
In a weird way that the beverage we choose, the cerveza or glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah.
It is a bit of fuel. You know, when you're tired, you have a little bit of that and you're like, all right, I got to make dinner. Let's go.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so if maybe we'll have a little beer and be like, hey, all right, got to go do this. Let's just make it happen.
Yeah. Bam. Well, and we want it to just be like, we're just having a, pour yourself a drink. Let's wind down from the week and let's have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's try it out.
Okay.
So I think this is a good time to say thank you to our friends.
I agree. Yeah. So
listening to our brains.
Really excited about what's ahead. Really excited for the next week. Get excited. We're going to be publishing at least one podcast next week.
Yeah. We're definitely publishing more than one. I think once we start, we're going to have a schedule.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
We're going to go for it next week and we'll let a few people know. Maybe we'll see. We're figuring that part out, but no matter what, when it's announced, there's going to be more episodes than just the single one. Like, announcement, here's our first episode. It'll be announcement. We've been working on this. Here's five episodes prior.
Yeah.
And this is our newest one that we're very proud of.
Yeah, I think it's great. So I'm really excited about it. We've got a lot of work to do, but it'll all be fun.
It's all fun.
So I'm excited to chat for happy hour tonight, and we'll talk to you later.
Love you.
Have fun. Be safe. Love you.
This journey through sound.